Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Line drive, backhanded by Correa. The bounce throw to first in time, and the Astros strand the bases loaded. A bullet to the backhand of Correa, who makes the play for the final out of the inning.
Carlos Correa with a terrific play yesterday, saving the game in the moment. As you heard Todd Callis, AT&T Sportsnet, bases juiced two spots. It was a hard, low liner, tough play. Correa went down and got it. And then he threw the one-hopper, which he loves that one-hopper throw over to Gurriel whenever he makes those diving plays. But Correa's showing again why it's making things harder and harder for the Astros. The Astros, I don't necessarily think they lowballed them in the offseason. What was it, 150 for 6 years? At the time, I thought that was kind of close to market value. I didn't think he was going to do it, but I don't think it was like a lowball offer. The way he's playing this year has shot up his value, I mean, through the roof. Last night was terrific with the defensive play. He was 4 for 5. The one time he got out was actually a rocket to left field, a line drive shot right to the left fielder for the Angels. Like, Carlos Correa is getting to the point now where there's 12 games left in the regular season. If he puts together another postseason like he's had in the with the Astros in the past, where he's hitting big home runs, walk-offs, things like that, like, it's going to be so difficult for this city to see Carlos Correa leaving free agency.
It really is, and you know what? I got to be honest. Every time I see him get an extra hit or a clutch hit or a home run, it actually, I cringe a little bit, because as good as it is for this year's Astros team, it basically tells you he's going to price himself out of the Astros being able to retain him. And yet it's also maybe the best thing that could happen to this Astros team, though nobody wants to hear about it, because as I said all along, I'd love to have him back, but at a reasonable price. The fact that he's only doing this for this one season, and when you look at his body of work throughout his career, between the injuries and the kind of up and down offensive seasons he's put together, as opposed to, you look at a Marcus Semien, and everybody said he's next, second best to Correa in terms of war. But the one thing that you're not looking at is Simeon's a whole lot less expensive. He's on a one-year deal at about $20 million, I believe, and he's a little older. And he's also got 40-some bombs this year. So he's hitting a whole lot more home runs and power, and you're not losing a whole lot defensively. He played shortstop his whole career because the Blue Jays have Bo Bichette. He's playing second base. He's going to be out there. He's going to be a poor man's version, I think, of Seager and Story and the other guys and the other guys that are going to be out there, Javi Baez, on the market if you can't get Correa. But you're going to have options, and that's a good thing. So you just got to play it out right now. And unfortunately for Astros fans, you have to be realistic in the fact that with every hit he gets, with every clutch performance in the field, and all the things that he's doing, he's pricing himself out of coming back to Houston.
See, it's hard for me because he's my favorite player. He's my favorite player in baseball, but I'm also of the opinion, I share it with you, that you don't sign players to 10-year deals. You don't sign them to these long deals where it takes them into their mid-30s. You don't commit $30 million per season to pretty much anybody. And I think James Click is a good general manager to the sense of where he'd be able to use that money that he's saving and bring in some really good players and still help this team. You know, I don't know if they're going to be better next year, but things that will help this team win. I still think there'll be an AL West champion. I still think that there'll be an AL contender to go back to the World Series, even if Carlos Correa leaves. They've done it year after year. Gerrit Cole left, still good. Springer left, still good. I think they would be in the same position again next year if Carlos Correa leaves. And I lean that way, my own personal opinion. But just the sentimental value of what he has meant this season, sure, what he's meant ever since the sign-stealing technology stuff when he said, if you don't know the facts, shut them up. He's become a fan favorite. I can't say that on the air.
Say it. Let it fly. Let
can't
it rip.
It. I wouldn't do that to Dell. Although we did Vernon have Vernon Maxwell. Vernon Maxwell wouldn't blink twice about doing it to Dell. But it's going to be tough. And look, there's going to be a lot of people in this city, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, that say, pay them. I don't care. Pay them. It's not my money. Pay them. They don't care. They don't care that it's not, you know, it's Jim Crane's money. The problem is, to me, it hamstrings the organization going forward. I don't think it's something that makes realistic, to me, financial sense. I don't think it's prudent financially. But there's going to be a lot of people in this city that aren't happy
about
it.
That's my pushback to you, is the fact that it's not that you don't want to pay him $30 million plus a year. You just don't want to do it for 10 years like he's looking for, because we've seen Albert Pujols' contract completely backfire on the Angels. And there's been other instances where you go, too old to be getting a deal that long, and you had to pay extra to pull him away from the team he was on, and you end up paying the price literally as a franchise for multiple years, and you end up just completely in purgatory with no escape route. So you want to avoid that. I think he's going to get, and he's probably worth 30-plus. But if you could get him on a shorter-term deal, it would make sense for both parties. I feel the same way that you feel about Correa, about Springer. Springer was my favorite player. The way he energized and was a spark plug in the dugout, in the clubhouse, and on the field, and the way he stepped up big in big moments. But I already had come to grips with the fact that he was mistreated by earlier generations of the Astros front office to the point where this was his last chance for a payday. He was older. He wanted the long-term deal that the Astros were not going to give. So you had to get just enjoy the ride for one more season and realize it's over. And it's actually a good thing if you want this team to continue to be successful to watch him go, thank him, and say you're always going to be a legend here, as opposed to overpaying in desperation so you don't lose that emotional connection. But what you really lose is the connection to winning baseball games on a consistent basis.
And I've seen enough from James Click that he's not going to act emotionally. He traded his everyday center fielder knowing he was going to face backlash at the deadline. But Jim Crane might. You know, Jim Crane might see the dollar signs. Jim Crane might see the season ticket numbers going up if they re-sign Carlos Correa, although it's going to be very expensive. Like this Lindor, what was it, 320, 330 for 10 years? Like, Correa's going to get that. I wouldn't do it. The Fernando Tatis contract, where he actually, I thought, took a little bit of a club-friendly deal because he got the long-term stability of, what was it, 12, 13 years. I think he could get something like that, too, if he really wanted it. I would throw this offer out at Carlos Correa at the start of free agency and say, look, if you don't want to do this, then we're not going to do any better. This is my best offer. And I would tell him at the start of free agency. I wouldn't go through the negotiations. I would just give it to Correa, give it to his agent, say, this is the best I can do. I hope it's something that you will consider. I would do something like a 7-year deal at $30 million per. So what is that, about $210 million? I would front load it where he's getting more money at the front of it, and I would give him an opt-out after like year three or year four. That way he has the flexibility if he still wants that big contract whenever he's 30, 31 years old, he could opt out of it. I would give that to him,
and that's
right,
a good
then.
Deal.
I would say, here you go. This is the best we can do. We want you back. This is the best we can do, though. This is the only thing that makes sense for us. This is our best offer. It's all we'll give you. And let
but it's
say
a good
no.
deal, Jeremy,
Make
but it's not
no.
good enough because you're going to be in a bidder's war now because
right.
of this season. And you're going to get big-name teams that are going to throw big-time money and not be afraid to throw. Look at what the Yankees are doing with the contract they're basically eating on a daily basis with Giancarlo Stanton. He's never going to live up to that contract, years-wise, money-wise, production-wise, health-wise. But you know what? They thought that that was the guy they had to have, and they went out and got him. And the Dodgers continue to do the same thing by adding guys regardless of their contract because they can. The Astros can't. That's why this is more important for them to handle it the right way from a business perspective than making a decision with their heart that is going to absolutely handcuff them for multiple years going forward. It's a tough, tough pill to swallow because of all the things you said, and tougher to swallow than Correa, than Springer, because Correa's younger. And because it's the current here and now situation that everybody's drawn to. But when you look at it, and we've talked about this, the aftermath of Carlos Correa, if you don't end up paying him, is ideal for this franchise because you have options. And you have multiple options on multiple fronts, third baseman or shortstop. Or suck it up, go cheap, and just deal with the people you have internally. But you can get through and probably still win the division and give yourself a chance. At the trade deadline, if you feel like then you want to make a move, you can. But the thing that you're not going to do is hamstring your organization for a 10-year deal, overpaying for most of it, and then every time he goes down or every time he gets a massage or every time that Daniela, says something happened at the house, you're like, oh God, I paid for all this.
And how many times do you see a guy in a contract year have career years?
Yeah.
And they never, I don't think Carlos Correa is going to be bad next year by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's more likely he would be somebody that would be injury prone after he signs that deal. But, what if this is the career year? What if 2021 is the career year and then you get a guy for $30 million for the next 10 years and it's downhill after this peak, which is likely. And it might not be like a steep cliff where he just drops off like that, but just gradual performance where it's lessening and lessening year after year, but you're paying him for what he did in 2021.
Well, and much like the Pujols situation or when the Rockets were looking at a max deal for Stevie Francis,
yep.
The fact is at a certain point you have to weigh what their strong points are. From Correa's standpoint, he's the best defensive shortstop in baseball right now, but as he gets older, the range is going to diminish, the throwing arm is going to come down a little bit. He throws so hard that you have to also factor in the possibility of injuries there as well, too, as he gets older and age catches up with him. So those are things that you have to factor in, too, the way you know that Click thinks. Analytically, everything that it says in his cheat sheet and the book that his cheat sheet on gambling says to him is, this isn't worth the gamble because it's too high of a risk for the reward. It's hard to digest as an Astros fan. But unless he says, I love Altuve, I love this clubhouse, I love the fact that I've really become a part of Houston and it means something to me and winning means something to me, and he's willing to work that into the deal. Otherwise, I love what you're saying. Because if you can front load the deal while you get Greinke and Verlander's money back, and you obviously have so many of your starting pitchers under control, you don't have to go spend a whole lot of money to get them, and relief pitchers will cost you a lot less. That's a great deal if he's willing to take it. I just think that right now, the way he's playing, too many teams are going to go, yeah, you could do that, but we could do this.
I think it's possible, not likely, that he would accept something like that, but it's the most I would do if I put myself in the Astros position, James Click's position as well. And it also excites me a little bit, like Ocho saying that, hey, forget about the future. Who cares what we are in 10 years? I want to keep the band together and see how we perform the next three seasons. James Click's not going to think that way, because James Click thinks that he can have a World Series contender for the next 10 years. He thinks he can sustain the success. And if you give a huge contract like that, you're handicapping that potential of sustained success. What do you think? 713-780-3776. What are your thoughts if these are the final 12 regular season games for Carlos Correa? 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts coming up next. Also coming up next, something about the Texans has me worried. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, before the break, tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, I love these guys because they're loyal to Houstonians, and whatever the issue is, whatever the problem you face, they're going to give you an honest answer on what they can do and how they can help. Sometimes they can't, but for the most part, they can. Their title says roofing. That means a roof or a repair on your business or your house. But it's so much more. They also do home repairs. They can do a fence in your yard, repair one, or put up a new one. And they can do it all starting with a free, no-obligation inspection. It costs you absolutely nothing. It's 832-521-3001. Set up the appointment. They come to you. They tell you what they can do. And then they go back to doing the rest of their day. If you want them to come back, you make the appointment. And before, during, and after the sale, they're going to take care of you. Not only are they going to do great work, but they're going to use the best products in the business, starting with CertainTeed shingles. They have the best warranties in the business, longer and better than your average roofer. And they're going to have the best ratings in the business, Facebook, Home Advisor, et cetera. Check them out. I'm not lying. It's the exact facts that I see on a daily basis. And Corey, the owner, is not just the owner. He's the vice president of the Houston Roofers Association. He wouldn't get that gig if people didn't trust him and believe in him to know what he's doing when it comes to roofs and other things. So that's why I encourage you to check out FITZRoofing.com or call him to get that free, no-obligation inspection today. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go to the HRMP guest line. We'll start with Henry. Henry wants to talk Carlos Correa. Henry, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Henry?
Hey, I love listening to you. I agree with a lot of stuff you guys say, and there's just some stuff I just don't agree with, man. I mean, I feel like we need to sit around the fire pit and just debate.
I would love that.
That's why we're here,
definitely,
buddy.
Definitely. Hey, so listen, Carlos Correa, man, he's been working his butt off for us, playing hard for us, helping us win and whatnot. I love the guy. I'm a big fan of the guy, even though, yeah, he does have some of his issues. Nobody's perfect, but these guys work hard to earn their contracts. I mean, tell me something. When do you think they deserve the big money, okay? Because when they come out as a rookie, we don't know what they do. They bust their butt. They put up the numbers, and they blow our minds. And then so when it's time for them to get a contract, the first thing you guys say, okay, and I say you guys mean the media, is, well, how old is he? How much longer do he got? He shouldn't get this money. He's going to be on the decline. Like, okay, you don't want to pay him up front before he do anything, but then when he does it, then you're worried about, okay, the decline, so now you don't want to pay him? I mean, so when do we decide that these guys earned their money and we pay them for what they've done instead of worrying about the fallout?
Well, but Henry. You're a victim of the system in certain ways, right? The baseball, it's the Players Association in baseball that's got to step up and do better too. Because the way the system is currently structured, you get good and the team loves it because they have you under team control until you're not as good. And then when it's time to pay you,
right. Then
it's the catch-22 of, I don't want to give you the Carlos Correa situation. I don't want to give you that many years and that much money. And if you get really too smart for your own doing and do what the Astros did to Springer, you're also going to piss the player off enough that when it does come time to get paid, the one thing he's going to remember is what you did to keep him down, and therefore the one place he won't want to be is Houston. That's what happened to some degree, if you believe what you've heard about Springer. That's why they did what they did with Bregman before they had to, so that they didn't face that same situation again. With Correa, it's the system, and he knows this is maybe his only chance to really cash in, and he bet on himself, and he's winning. So no one's angry or upset with him for getting paid. I just can't see a scenario where he gets paid here.
I can understand that. I mean, to ask, you know, well, not to answer your question, but to ask a question about your question, when should they go for their money? I mean, you got a contract. Let's just say you got a five-year contract, okay, and it's not a max contract. And in that third year, man, your numbers is going through the roof. Now, most people in organizations, whether it be baseball or football or basketball, hate when players want to restructure their contract in the middle of a contract. We say, just pay out the contract. But they're hitting peak numbers. I mean, do you think that they should have some type of agreement or some clause to where they can renegotiate if their numbers are going through the roof at their peak?
I think you see it more in the NFL. I mean, the NFL player has a big year and they'll hold out for the big contract. And Henry, you bring up good points. The problem is that to me, it's two separate conversations because, yes, you're right. The MLB system is flawed, you know, that the free agents can't enter free agency until they're 28, 29 years old. And a lot of times these Major League Baseball organizations are even holding them back in the minor leagues like George Springer. So it slows down their service time. So it doesn't start the clock per se. So they have more club control and they have him for longer or when he's older. So it does hurt the players because when they enter free agency, they're older, and Major League Baseball teams have wisened up to the sense of, hey, the guy's 29, 30 years old. I don't want to pay him for 6 or 7 years because then he's going to be old and he's not going to live up to the contract. So I totally agree with your point that Major League Baseball has pulled one over on the players for years, and that's why I'm really interested to see what happens with the new CBA that comes up in December. But then the other side of that conversation is, okay, now the clubs are trying to take advantage of that, and now you're in a situation where you're the Astros and you're making a decision. What should I do with Carlos Correa, who is a shortstop in his late 20s? Do I want to give him 10 years and have that contract ride until he's in his late 30s? So the system is flawed, you're right, but then the Astros now have to make a decision based on what the rules currently are.
Well, and the other thing is, too, Henry, unlike the sport of basketball where the James Harden effect has had a positive result, where players play chicken with their organizations regardless of how many years they have on a contract and how many dollars, and at a certain point pull the plug and go, you know what, not feeling it anymore, I'm done, trade me, and trade me where I want to go. And when the Rockets appease them on every single front like they did with Harden, it sets a bad precedent for the rest of sports as they keep an eye on it going, God, if that ever happened in our sport, we'd really be screwed, because a lot of times the team knows they have team control over a player like Correa, so they're spending their money elsewhere, and in the Astros' case, spending a lot of it. And if the contracts don't match up to where they're expiring when a player calls your bluff, you could be in a really tough situation where you either got to trade him and appease the player, or say you're not going to, and then make sure, almost guarantee, that he's never coming back when his contract is up.
Yeah, I want Correa to get paid. I think he deserves every dime of it, too. It just, I wouldn't be the one paying it, because to me it doesn't make a whole lot of financial sense. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back to the HR&P guest line. Brian, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, first of all, I wouldn't discount Correa re-signing here. I've been listening... all over the dials, and everybody saying, oh, you know, he's as good as gone, he's as good as gone. And here's how I'm going to preface this. I know through my ex-wife, and I will leave it at that, but we used to deal with Daniela in the pageant world. And so I know Daniela, I know her family. That is a huge deal for her, and I think it's an underrated factor that most people don't think about. Now, are there planes that will get you from Laredo to New York and vice versa? Yes. But especially the fact that her grandparents are about to be grandparents for the first time, all of that is a huge deal that I don't think a lot of people are taking into account. I don't think the free agency deal has worked out as well for Springer as he initially thought. And I think Correa might have to look at that and say, you know, granted, he got hurt, but, you know, is it really a place where he wanted to go, or is it just something he kind of took the money because it was there? And I don't know if Springer is completely happy in Toronto, but my thought is I would put him re-signing here closer to 40%, more so than, say, 10 or 20.
Appreciate
because of because of his family dynamic and his wife's family dynamic and things along those lines. So I would put it up a little bit higher, but would you guys do 7 for $250 and say, look, we can't give you the years you want, but we will front load you and give you 35 for a year up front. You're going to have Verlander's 33 already coming off the books, and plus, you know, what you're clearing off for Greinke. So you've already got, what, about $50 million, $55 million coming off the books up front. Now, granted, you'll need some of that probably to renegotiate or maybe give Bregman a little bit more money down the road, or Altuve one more deal, or bring in some free agents. But I think you could even get away 7 for $250 and even throw in some performance bonuses, whereas, hey, if you're the league MVP, we're going to give you, you know, $3 million. And so you're making it almost where he's getting 40 a year.
Brian, appreciate the call, man. Look, here's the thing. You know, whether you know something we don't or not on both fronts, on the Springer front, you know when he's most happiest? 2 days of the month, the 1st and the 15th. Because that money's not going anywhere, and it's not changing, and he's getting what he always wanted in terms of the years and the dollars that he said he had to have, regardless of what city was willing to pay him. So he's fine, and he can't predict injuries just like we can't. But it's kind of the whole reason why everybody's a little bit apprehensive, or more than just a little bit apprehensive, about signing Correa to the same kind of deal, because the first thing that happened to George at a little older age, with all the people that were saying, give George what he wants, pay him the dollars, pay him the years. It's exactly why the Astros didn't want to do it, because he's been injury-riddled his entire first year in Toronto, and that's not something the Astros can afford to do and then rebound from and still be competitive. So from that regard, and the other thing that I've heard flip to what you're saying is that Daniela has always been about the city being able to do something for her too. I get it, it's the hometown area for her, and with the kid it might change things, but also after Daniela got out of the pageant world, she wants to have an acting career or a modeling career, or she wants to have a career of her own because she thinks she can do it in a big city, New York, L.A., Chicago, whichever one you pick. She's not exactly Justin Verlander's missus, but at the same time, she wants to take her swings and misses in a big market to make some cash too. That may factor in against Houston.
I mean, it sounds like Brian's saying that Correa would give Houston a hometown discount. Maybe he will.
I don't think so.
Maybe he will, but at what cost, right? Like, is it a 10% hometown discount? Is it a 25% hometown discount? I think Correa wants to get paid. As far as 250 for seven, if Correa wants to do that, I'd be willing to listen, especially if you front load it. I wouldn't go over 7 years. 7 years puts him at 33 whenever his contract expires. That's a bullet I will bite. Over 7 years, no. I'm not sure that gets it done for Carlos Correa. All right, coming up next, something that the Texans have me worried about. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie. I've been telling you about them for a long time now, but MyBookie.ag is the only place that you should bet if you're going to put money down on games. And if you want to get more money in your account so you can put more money down on games, there's only one place to go. It's MyBookie, because right now they got a deal that's good for everybody. It's good for new customers, current customers, former customers. They're doubling your first deposit up to $1,000. It's all for you. That means that if you put $100 in your account right now and you put in the promo code BET975, you're going to have $200 to play with instead of $100. You're going to have more games to bet on and more chances to win. That's the way they take care of their customers at MyBookie. They're also going to pay you when you win instead of encouraging you to try and just stick with it, throw it on more games, and you don't need the cash out. They're not going to do that. Sometimes those other internet providers for gambling don't even have the money to pay you out if you wanted it, and that's why they hem and haw. That's not the case with MyBookie. You win, if you bet and you win and you want to get paid, they're going to take care of you. You can bet on your phone, your laptop, your tablet. It's so easy. It's so fun. And now it's even better to get up with MyBookie because, like I said, they're doubling your first deposit up to $1,000. So sign up right now, MyBookie.ag. Put in the promo code BET975 and get going. Extra money and you're credited to your account instantly just by using that promo code BET975 as you make your next deposit. And it allows you to get going on college games, the Texans game coming up on Thursday night, a full weekend slate of college and professional football, baseball if you like, and so much more. If there's a sport with a game going on, chances are you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. Check them out today. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Superdome's on fire, apparently. I'm watching a video of it now. There's like a right where the dome like hits the wall. There's like a hole, and there's fire there. Hopefully they get it under control. Hope everybody's safe.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already digging out after the hurricane.
Like, I think it's been on fire for like 30 minutes. For real. Like, the first tweet I see of it was like 35 minutes ago, and I'm still seeing videos, unless they're old videos.
Just the outside of the building?
And there's people walking on the roof.
Oh, good.
No, it's like at the corner of the dome. Like, where the dome like is like that, and then the wall goes down. It's like right there where the wall goes up, and it meets the dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty scary.
It's not good for week four, having the Saints have
their first home game. There's dudes on the dome watching the fire, and they're not firefighters. It looks like they're, like, just workers. What's wrong with them? Well, hope everybody's safe, and hope nobody gets injured in that. So something has me worried about the Texans, and I even thought about this before the start of the season. I was really discouraged to see Zach Cunningham playing outside linebacker in a 4-3, and, like, they traded Bernardrick McKinney. I get that. Bernardrick McKinney, not any good. I'm willing to agree to that. But I was really curious to see how Zach Cunningham would look in this defense. And the fact that he's not wearing the green dot was like a huge mystery to me. Like last year, he was the guy who led the NFL in tackles. He went from leading the NFL in tackles wearing the green dot to all of a sudden in the Lovie Smith defense, he's not even playing middle linebacker and he's not even wearing the green dot. Instead, it's Kirksey, some guy you brought in free agency that's wearing the green dot on the back of his helmet. Then he was suspended in the first quarter of the game this past weekend for the Houston Texans against Cleveland. They're keeping it in-house. No one knows, but apparently it's disciplinary reasons why Zach Cunningham did not start and was held out of the first quarter. And then on top of that, his productivity has gone way down. 6 tackles in game 1. 6 tackles in game 2. This is a guy who averaged over 10 tackles a game last season. I don't think the Texans are getting the most out of Zach Cunningham right now.
No, they're not, but as you're reading that, the first thing I think about is the beginning of the end with Bradley Roby started the exact same way.
Hmm.
So whether it's by choice and he's doing this within the back of the mind, intentionally trying to get himself out, or if it's just something that sends up a red flag, whether it goes past the coaching staff to Nick Caserio or not, no matter what he's been doing on the field, because we know that they're going to protect this roster and the rebuild and the young players and the culture going forward, it's not a good sign. It's something to keep an eye on, because as we said, as we get closer to the trade deadline and more teams know, hey, if we're looking for the rummage sale, lawn sale division of the NFL this year, where we can pick up a player quick that might be able to be a pick and play kind of dude, Texans are going to be one of the first teams we're looking at. And that could be a guy that someone files under. I think we need him. Oh, by the way, Green Bay might already be on the phone with Nick Caserio if that's the case, because they need anyone that can play defense right now, and at least they know this guy can make some things happen defensively in the front 7.
They messed up then, if that's the idea. Like, they messed up in the evaluation of what Zach Cunningham was going to be in this defense, because he's losing value week in, week out. The fact that he hasn't played that well, losing value. The fact that he's no longer the guy giving the signals to the defense, losing value. The fact that he's suspended in the first quarter for contract detrimental to the team, that's losing his value. If they realized that early with Zach Cunningham, they should have traded him when his value was high. And I understand that I at times I go over the top with looking at players as commodities. Like, I get that they're not. But you're not getting what you can out of Zach Cunningham. And if you realize that early on, he should have been somebody that you traded in the offseason.
Yeah, you should have, but there's only so much you can do, right? You got to have a market for the player, and you'd like to have a competitive market where there's more than one team interested. And we knew that Zach Cunningham, basically, there might be factors financially and otherwise where teams were going to be a little bit apprehensive. And also, because of the fact that Nick Caserio, just getting his feet wet, didn't want to make a Bill O'Brien snap decision and get rid of a guy too quickly when you realize, hey, this dude can really play and he's been effective here, so I don't want to pull the trigger too fast. And so I think those are kind of the factors that factored into him not being one of the guys they tried to move immediately or move because of cap considerations and otherwise, like Nick Martin and others. So when you look at it now, you say, okay, you might not be able to get what you thought you could get before, but if it allows you to move forward, and you get a mid-round pick, at least it's another player that potentially, one, it helps by addition by subtraction again. You get a guy that maybe doesn't want to be here anymore, and we don't know what's the crux of what's going on with why they sat him down. But at least you get something for him, and it allows you to continue to move forward with the rebuild.
Like, if we need to start having a pool on the who's the next Texan to get traded, because if Nick Caserio is this Will and Dylan son of a gun, which he's proven to be, I mean, part of it's the hard reset on the organization. I don't think he's ever going to make as many moves as he has in year one going forward once he starts to get his players in place. But, I mean, Cunningham, he's still got some money on this deal. He signed all the way through 2024. It's pretty pricey as well. Yep. If you look at the cap hits this year, the cap hit's not that much, just under six. But you're looking at 14.7 in 2022, 15.7 in 23, 17.2 in 24. Now, you can get out of that. The dead cap isn't as bad, so maybe it's somebody, maybe a team is attracted, you know, to Zach Cunningham at the deadline. They need a middle linebacker. I don't think Cunningham's a very good fit in this 4-3, cover 2, Lovie Smith style of defense. I think he's better suited for a 3-4. So Georgia and South Carolina played over the weekend. You saw what Georgia was able to do to them, right? They beat them up pretty good. They beat up the Gamecocks pretty well. Well, Shane Beamer was asked after the game about the Bulldogs and their defense, and he's like, how come you guys didn't have any success against Georgia? Here's Shane Beamer's response.
Just what were they doing to maybe make things physical on the offensive side and maybe being able to get a push?
Who was doing?
Georgia's a defensive line. What were they doing to maybe make things difficult on the offense?
They've got like 105 star football players on their defense. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds and runs better than everybody on this call. They've got 5-star defensive backs. They're big and physical and fast. I mean, other than that, they're really freaking good. That's why they have the top defense in the country. They're hard to run the football on. So there wasn't some magical scheme they came out with tonight. They got 5-star recruits everywhere, and they play really physical. Damn.
There is brutal honesty from Shane Beamer. His team a little overmatched against Georgia. Sometimes it's not that complicated, right? Sometimes it's just the old KISS philosophy. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and the other thing is that as you get into those comments and you kind of break them down, the bigger picture is what it says about the landscape of college football this year as opposed to many of the other years. The best teams, and in Alabama's case, you're still trying to figure out who they are and what they have and if a freshman quarterback can do enough. But they showed that they were human because Florida was in it every step of the way with them. And if they get the 2-point conversion, we might be having a different conversation. In the past, it was like, who's playing for second? Because Alabama's going to absolutely steamroll everybody in their way. And there's also going to be three other clear-cut teams that are going to be in the playoff. Now you're looking at it going, as I've said all along, Rattler and Oklahoma hasn't impressed anybody. If you're Clemson, you can hang your hat on your defense. But your offense has been horrible. If you're Georgia, with all the things that we just heard from Beamer about their defense, their offense still has a ton to prove. And you could go up and down the list. The parity could be great for college football for a year, and that it could be wide open and anybody could just walk right through that door and have a chance to compete for a national title, as opposed to every single year, it's Alabama and everybody else, or it's these four teams and everybody else. Ohio State is obviously beatable as they lost to Oregon. And they're also dealing with growing pains with young players, including a quarterback. So it's not as cut and dried as years past, and I think that's refreshing for college football.
Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. How about J.J. Redick announcing his retirement? I felt like he could still give a year or two
done.
In the NBA.
He's not done.
You think he's going to come back?
I think he's going to wait. I think there's going to be an injury somewhere.
That's smart.
Yeah, I don't know. He can say, you know what, it's also the way you play it is, he won't file the paperwork. He'll let everybody know he's retired, so therefore the phone calls will ease up for now. But he's got a house now in New York, in near Brooklyn. That was his ideal scenario. So if Brooklyn has some injuries and they need a shooter, Philadelphia, Daryl's, as we know when he was here, Daryl's always been enamored with J.J. Redick, and it's close enough to where his house is.
See, that's the team that came up to my mind.
If Daryl needs a shooter, it might not be because J.J. doesn't want to go through another training camp, but at a certain point he goes, J.J., I'd love to have you. You could really help us. You've been here before. You know Philly. It could help us. However, keep in mind, he doesn't like Daryl a whole lot the way he does general managing because he says he treats players like assets. And that's why, look, I know for all you guys listening, there was a Redick jersey made ready to make an announcement a few years ago. And when he sat down and had a hard think about it, he said, Daryl Morey treats players like assets and I could be the apple of his eye this year and I could be the guy that gets him a different player next year. And he goes, I'm not doing that to my family. And he changed his mind.
Well, he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. All right, coming up next, Brett Chancy, H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter, co-host of the Locked On Astros podcast, joins the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Superdome's not on fire anymore, thanks to Donna LSU for letting us know that. 713-780-3776.
That's not just Donna LSU, that's the Donna. She is the greatest.
I agree, but it's, I mean, her screen name is Donna LSU. Yeah. Let's go now to the HRMP guest line. We're joining us now on the Killer Bees, Brett Chancey. You know him on Twitter as H-Town Wilhouse, co-host of Locked On Astros podcast. Brett, thanks for coming on. We just had a spirited conversation about Carlos Correa, the chances he could be in Houston. What are those chances Correa could re-sign with Houston, and what do you think is the minimum amount that Carlos Correa could accept to stay in Houston?
Well, if you're talking about AAV, I think the minimum amount he's going to be looking at is at least around $34 million per year, especially since Lindor signed that deal. And I said before Lindor got signed that if Correa's not signed before Lindor, the chances go way down that he does not get signed. There are some other things to consider. You know, I think he's in the market of 28 to 35. Do the Astros offer him 6 years at about 34 and then give him a seventh and eighth year as player option to be 35 and 37 or even more? You know, how much could you do? Signing bonuses each year, incentives for gold glove, incentives for MVP placement, things like that. This is interesting because Jim Crane and James Click have a possible PR storm on their hands that if they don't sign Correa, what the Astros nation will do. You know, a lot of them say on Twitter, we will riot if Carlos isn't signed. And so there's a lot of people who Carlos has endeared himself to in this city. If this is what they have to do, they have to offer him a qualifying offer to get a draft pick back if they lose him. If they lose him, and think about this, why have they been drafting so many shortstops? Why have they been drafting so many talented players like Pedro Leon, like Jeremy Pena? It's because they have to have a contingency plan that Carlos walks.
Yeah, but
will Carlos?
Brett,
no, go ahead.
No, we've talked about all that, but the good thing too is that they have options. Because if they want to go on the cheap, then you could slide Bregman over, and you could put Diaz at third. And you could get away with it. But there's also options within the market because they have that money with Verlander and they have that money with Greinke. Whether they sign one, two, or neither one, they're going to have money to play with so that they could look at either a third baseman or a shortstop. And I've said all along, look, Marcus Semien's hitting the cover off the ball on a one-year deal. He's older. He may want to have a chance to win, and he would be an option that a lot of people aren't considering because they're looking at the top of the market in terms of shortstops. But it seems to me, because Houston's not the biggest of the big market teams, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow if he leaves, just like Springer leaving was. But if they have aspirations of staying competitive for the long haul, they can't get into a bidding war for Carlos Correa.
No, they can't. Unfortunately, they're probably going to let Carlos test the market to see where they have to be, to see where they have to go. Now, let's look at Jeremy Pena, $550,000 next year. He rates at an 80 at the shortstop position. His glove is just as good as Correa, but his arm is not. I would not slide Bregman over to shortstop because he doesn't grade out defensively as a great shortstop. He's perfect at third base. You don't move your best MVP caliber third baseman to shortstop when you've got Pena, when you've got Pedro Leon. I mean, and get this, Pena is just as fast, if not faster, than Miles Straw as well. Pena, I watched him in person for the first time at Constellation Field last week, sitting in the press box, and I was impressed. This kid is a specimen. And to come back as quickly as he did, or, you know, these young guys coming back from their injuries, this is what I say. If Carlos walks, okay, the money that you're saving on not paying him, you go get a frontline starting pitcher. I think you have enough in the shortstop area and Pena and Pedro Leon and Diaz every once in a while to slot in there as your utility guy. I really think that those guys provide you enough. I don't know that you have to go out and get a Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien in this 1 year may be pricing himself out of what the Astros want to pay him. And do you want to pay a guy something for a year or two and not give Pena or these guys that are your future, not give them the shot? Because the top five Astros prospects, or four of the top five Astros prospects, are in Sugarland right now.
Brett Chansey.
And Pena and Leon are right there.
Yeah, they have some cheap internal options if they want to go to the minor league route. Pedro Leon, Jeremy Pena, not bad options if you want to go cheap and young and, of course, have them for club control for the next six seasons. H-Tal Wilhouse on Twitter, Locked On Astros podcast. Astros right now, 12 games left in the regular season. What's your playoff rotation if the playoffs started tomorrow, assuming you have everybody ready to go on full rest?
So if it's me, because I'm not Brent Strom, I'm going McCullers in game one. I'm going Valdez in game two. I'm going Greinke and piggyback with probably Luis Garcia. And then I'm going I'm going to let Urquidy start, and I'm going to try to put Odorizzi in there. I think Odorizzi, though, you may see seniority come in here, and you may see him be the fourth starter. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. I know, but you've got to think. You've got Dusty, you've got old school, you've got seniority. I mean, I thought Lance McCullers should have been the opening day starter. Who was it? It was Zach Greinke. And I know Zach Greinke's horrible against right-handers this year, and last he's built quite a bad resume there. But I don't think you see a Hall of Fame pitcher not be the first or second starter in this rotation. Where Lance is the ace. So I've got Lance, Greinke, Valdez, and then Urquidy or Garcia. It's really a toss-up. Also, how do we match up, and who do we match up with, and who's on the other side, I think, plays a key factor. I think it's a lock that it's the White Sox, but that's who I'm going with. I don't want Odorizzi starting, but something tells me the Astros are going to Astro, and Odorizzi might be one of the four starters in this ALDS. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled that.
God, I hope not. The other question that I have is, since we were just talking about this today because of what happened last night, is Siri playing himself onto the roster? We thought it might come down to Siri or Marwin Gonzalez. We know there's already been a rift between Dusty and the analytics department, depending on what you hear and who you want to believe and who he wants to play and his hunches and his favorites, as opposed to who James Click's staff wants to play. But you would think that, in the way it looks right now, Dusty's got a whole lot of admiration for Marwin Gonzalez, but you can't turn your back on what Siri's been able to do lately, offensively and in the outfield, and with his speed for this team.
Exactly, and we discussed this on Locked On last night. Marwin hitting that grand slam, he's basically auditioning for a spot on the team. And if you're going to be a empirical evidence, facts-driven discussion, Marwin Gonzalez doesn't fit on this team statistically. But if you talk from an emotional, he's been there, done that, a Houston legend-type status, Marwin Gonzalez would be a guy that you would maybe give consideration. But if you look overall what he's hitting, 202 versus everybody else, you could leave Marwin off and bring another pitcher on, like a Peter Solomon, to throw a curveball at you, something like that. But I think Jose Siri definitely deserves to be seriously considered to be a part of this. Because I'm telling you guys, Siri, McCormick, and Myers, those three guys, they're going to make an impact in this playoff season, and it's going to be an exciting 2021 playoffs for sure.
Hey, Brett, I wanted to ask you about the dominance that is Brooks Raley in September. 7 2/3. He's given up just one run. You look at the ERA down to 1.17, six strikeouts in 7 2/3. How brilliant has Daily Raley been in this month?
Raley, I think the K in Brooks stands for strikeout.
That's right.
Brooks Raley has turned it around. His spin rate, what he throws, his pitches, his arsenal works perfectly, and you notice they put him in there against the right matchups. I think there for a while he was getting in a lot of unfortunate, unlucky situations where really there was not a whole lot of room for success. But they kept trotting him out there. And Brooks Raley has made himself a legitimate part of this bullpen and has been one of the most consistent. Shoot, even more consistent than Kendall Graveman lately. I mean, who would have thought we'd be saying that 4 weeks ago?
Sorry, Brad, I just had to throw up. I'm back now because I've not been a big fan of Brooks Raley. He's on my list. That bullpen is going to be a challenge when they construct that for the playoff roster. I'm interested, especially when you already talked about juggling a guy like Odorizzi and trying to figure out if they're going to do split starts with their three and their four positions. But then it looks at it and it looks like there's going to be guys that, you know, even guys that were significant additions at the trade deadline that might not be a part of this playoff push. I'm looking at guys like Maton going, I don't think so. I mean, there are guys that you thought when the process was over at the trade deadline that you knew these guys were locks. Now, there are no locks in that bullpen because everything's upside down. If you're not Graveman, if you're not Presley, if you're not Stanek.
Exactly. And Maton, again, I think Maton makes it. I just think they are in love with his spin rate. They are in love with the movement on his pitches. I'm not in love with the results that we've gotten. And I know when he goes out there, it seems like you just start perspiring for his sake, thinking, oh, gosh, is he going to give up a long ball? Is he going to give up an extra base hit? But they got him for a reason. They were convinced at what he had for a reason. I think Yimi García is the only one out of those trades that may be more on the outside looking in, more on the bubble. But, hey, don't be surprised if some of these guys that you and I don't have a whole lot of faith in end up on this playoff roster. Again, it's the White Sox, and it's what have you done for me lately. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to see the best of the best come out. Last year, we went into the playoffs with a bunch of rookies and a bunch of minor league pitchers, and we got one win away from the World Series. This year, we've got more experienced guys that have been faltering, and I think things will come together. I think Maton makes it. I don't know about Yimi García, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kept him because, hey, we traded for him. So, you know, I mean, maybe the ALDS they're off, maybe ALCS they're on. I don't know. It is very much a chess match, and the discussions that I would love to be a fly on the wall right now in the Astros front office and managerial office, because you've got a pitching coach team of, you know, Murphy and Strom and all these guys there. They're the ones making the pitching decisions. They're going to go with their gut feeling, and they're going to trot the team out there that gives them the best chance to win another World Series.
Brett, great stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at H-Town Wheelhouse and also check out the Locked On Astros podcast. Catch up with you later, Brett.
Hey, thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one, and go Astros.
Brett Chancy stopping by on the Killer Bees. I mean, you draft shortstops because they're the best players available, though. You know what I mean?
But you also are making shortstops out of outfielders because you're trying to load them up and line them up.
Yeah.
But sometimes that might not be the wisest decision either. But you know what? The one thing we've seen based on who Click has gotten rid of and who he's kept that have now made an impact at the end of the regular season, he knows what he's doing in player development.
He certainly does, and Brooks Raley's been outstanding in September. All right, coming up next, fantasy failures over the weekend and best of Manning cast. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about New Brakes. It's nubrakes.com. If you need your brake work, brakes done, your brakes fixed, your brakes replaced, there's only one place to go. It's New Brakes. How do I know? Because I went to them a few weeks ago. They came to me. And they did the work here at the station while we were doing the show. Less than 40 minutes in and out. Fantastic work. They don't try and upsell you. They're certified technicians, do nothing but brakes. They use the same products you get at a brake shop. And you know what they do? They not only save you time, it saves you money. Because instead of blowing hours at a time, being away from the office, not being at the house when you need to get things done, you can do whatever you need to do, and they come to you to see the job through. It's fantastic. Your driveway or your garage could be the spot while you're cutting the lawn, watching a game, drinking a beer. It doesn't matter. If you're at work and you can't afford to leave, you don't have to, because while you're in your meetings and taking care of your spreadsheets, they're in your parking lot or your parking garage taking care of your brakes. That you mentioned ESPN 97.5, you save 10%, but more than that, you're going to save time. You're going to get the same competitive prices as you would at any of the brake shop, but you don't have to go there. They come to you, and they do what they do. It's nubrakes.com. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. You're going to save 10%. Nubrakes.com.
This is High Utopia winner, and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.